This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
I think every day there's a new twist, there's a new development. Probably if we had to just rewind a month back or 2 months back, we would often say that, hey, the world is really in shambles. Things are really gone bad. But now when you look at it currently, you think, hey, 2 months back, it wasn't all that bad. And what's the message here again? That there's the quotation of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Ma'rufu zamanina munkaru zamanin qad mada. Wa munkaruhu ma'rufu zamanin lam ya'ti. Ma'rufu zamanina munkaru zamanin qad mada. That what we perceive and understand and assume as noble today was actually considered a vice in yesteryears, in the years gone by. وَمُنْكَرُهُ مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانٍ لَمْ يَأْتِ. And many things which we today would perceive to be despicable, unacceptable, unsavory, as we inch closer towards Qiyamah and things deteriorate, that will stand out to be somewhat acceptable and the norm of society. So as bad as the moment is, the only consolation we have is that it's better than tomorrow. As bleak as the hour is, right? Shakona ila Anas ibn Malik ma nalqa min al-Hajjaj. When people complain to Anas radiyallahu anhu because of the tyranny and the oppression of Hajjaj, he said, "Isbiru fa innahu la ya'ti alaykum zamanun illa alladhi ba'dahu ashar minhu hatta talqaw rabbakum sami'tuhu min nabiyyikum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." That persevere, because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that every era that is to come will be worse than the era that was before it until you make your way to Qiyamah and your death and you meet Allah. And academically also, may Allah preserve and may Allah reward the scholars, they open up an amazing discussion under this hadith, because the hadith says that every latter era and every forthcoming period will be more evil than the one it preceded. That's the hadith, right? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَرْ مِنْهُ. The one after it will be more severe. So they pose a question and they say that the era of Hajjaj was also followed by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. Look at the thinking of the muhaddithin and how deep they go into it. So how do we reconcile? Because unanimously the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was a fresh breath. It was a second Umar. It was a different period altogether. In Tafsir al-Kabir, there's that incident mentioned there where a person came to drink water and draw water from the well during the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. And he's seen on one side there was a wolf and on one side there was a sheep drinking commonly from one well. And he said, "Mata istalaha al-dhi'bu wash-shat." And this is a strange sight. When did we ever see this here? And he said, "Hina istalaha ar-ra'i ma'a mawlah." When the shepherd made peace with his creator, then there was, it had ripple effects across the creation that, you know, even animals that are known to be one being a predator and the other being a prey could find commonness together, leave alone humans. So how do we reconcile that every era that is to come after will be more severe? When the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah came after Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and that was better. And again, the scholars of hadith, may Allah reward them handsomely, they say undoubtedly the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz on a general note because of his justice was better. But the reign of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf witnessed more sahaba. So that made that era rich in merit. So although on a broad context, yes, there was adl and justice in the period of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, which was not found by Hajjaj, but undoubtedly there were more sahaba. So the masses could turn to erudite scholars for guidance in turbulence. So that makes one understand the colossal and the mammoth responsibility that ulama ought to shoulder in situations like this, and whenever they will be fitten, that there were people, and can you imagine, as we're getting closer to Qiyamah, that the challenges are intensifying, and the rijal are becoming less. Meaning people of who had, you know, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, those who are anchored in knowledge, those who are established in knowledge, to whom you could go and find counsel, solace, guidance, and inspiration. So I want to share a verse of the Quran, and it's a verse of the 16th juz, the 20th chapter, the 40th verse, Surah Taha. And again, it's a message for us, and this is what we're going to discuss daily, inshallah, as we move through these challenging moments and we try and swim across and hopefully we get to the shore. Luqman Hakim said to his son, "Ad-dunya bahrun amiq." They would spell it out honestly. They wouldn't sugarcoat it. He said, "The world is a deep ocean, O my son. Gharaqa fihi al-awwalun." I've seen many people prior to me, when we read their tales, they drown, and many after us will drown. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ فَاجْعَلْ سَفِينَتَكَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. The only vessel with which you can sail in this, in these stormy waters is the fear of Allah. And I was saying to my honorable dad today that, discipline is vital at all times, but in these current crises, it's all the more vital. They say that an undisciplined man is a headache to himself and a heartache to others. An undisciplined man is a headache to himself and a heartache to others. And yet someone else said, discipline yourself so others don't have to discipline you. And someone said, there's nothing more common than seeing success, than seeing talented men. There's nothing more common than seeing talented men who are unsuccessful simply because they lack discipline. Simply because they lack discipline. So if in your life there isn't discipline, how long are you going to sleep? How long are you going to eat? What's the Arabic proverb? Man akala kathiran, shariba kathiran. Wa man shariba kathiran, nama kathira. Wa man nama kathira, adha'a waqtan kathira.
Subhanallah.
The more you eat, the more you drink, the more you drink, the more you sleep. And the more you sleep, the more your life just swiftly passes away through and you achieve nothing. You achieve nothing out of it. So in the 20th chapter of the Quran, verse 40, it's in the narrative and the tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. It's amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses preceding the 40th verse is where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asks Allah, "Oh Allah, open my bosom for me, simplify my task for me, etc. Untie the knot on my tongue because of the stammer." And Allah says, "Utita su'laka ya Musa." Musa, whatever alayhi salam you've asked has been approved. And then the verses follow to say that today you are requesting aid, assistance, inspiration, and we've approved it, we have accepted it, and we have granted your request. But O Musa, we favored you at a time where you did not even request and you were unaware. And that's the tie of the ayat. So Ya Musa alayhi salam is asking, "Oh Allah, grant me this." And Allah said, "Utita su'laka ya Musa." O Musa, it's granted, it's approved, it's concluded. But you know what, O Musa? وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. We favored you at a time when you didn't even know. And then Allah in detail explains, إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَى. When we inspired your mom, that which we inspired her. And the ibham and the ambiguity is to denote the greatness of the discussion, the greatness and the profound nature of what is to follow. But just to expedite and fast forward to the point of reflection, so then Allah enumerates and highlights the different favors of Allah upon Musa alayhi salam, and I'm bringing it into the context of the crisis in which the ummah is going through, and that's the beauty of the Quran. So Allah says, remember the time when your mom put you in the basket and the basket in the river Nile, and then your sister as a bystander and as an onlooker was walking by. إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ يَكْفُلُ. Until she makes her way to the palace, and then the basket is brought into the palace. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ. And divinely we had barred you from drinking the milk of any wet nurse, because this was kept exclusively for your mom. And then in the discussion, Allah says, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ. Right? And we tested you a great ordeal. قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا. You grew up, then you inadvertently claimed the life of one person, and then you had the fear of عِقَاب and intiqam, the fear of a punishment and revenge. فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We rescued you from both by pardoning you and taking you to Midian. So Allah is speaking about all His favors. Everything is, we favored you, we blessed you, we aided you, we assisted you. But then there's a verse which apparently outwardly doesn't tie up as a favor, yet the entire discussion is favors. وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ And we tested you, a great ordeal. So in Bayan al-Quran, Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah raises the question, when the entire sequence is the mention of bounties, how do we reconcile the concluding aspect of the 40th verse of this 20th chapter of the Quran, where Allah said, we tested you, a great ordeal. How is this a bounty in the discussion of bounties? And he says two things. One is we tested you, and ultimately we granted you deliverance. So yes, you went through the test, but then we rescued you. We rescued you. We gave you ease. We granted you deliverance. So that is a bounty. But the second point is what I want to focus on more, is that فَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ And again, if you're going to Arabic grammar, this is مَفُولَ مُطْلَقُ which intensifies the nature of the test to say it was a great test, it was an intense test. He says the test itself was a blessing because by virtue of a test, it refines the character of a person.
SubhanAllah.
It creates in him أَخْلَاقِ فَاضِلَ to use his words. And undoubtedly, it's barely 3 or 4 days into it, and suddenly now you appreciating even milk on your table and bread in your house. You can just see how you've toned down. There's the sense of humility in every person. You're grateful. You know what? I had to stand in the queue, but thank God, shukr to Allah, the butcher was open. The bakery was open. The queue was long. It was tedious. It wasn't easy. But alhamdulillah, in the end, we got bread. You're telling your family, you know what? Value what we got. Value what you got. So, فَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ We tested you, a great ordeal. But remember that testing is there to create so much refinement in you. It brings out so much goodness, humility, humbleness, etc. Another verse of the Quran, first let me share one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is in the chapter of Maghibat, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made these different, he had forecasted and he had made these prophecies, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a chapter of its own, Babul Maghibat. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this will happen, this will happen. And he also mentioned that a time will come, and the hadith is in both Bukhari and Muslim, that لا تذهب الدنيا, this world will not end, will not cease to exist until a man comes to a grave, يتمرغ, he will roll in the sand by the grave and he will look at the dweller and the occupant of the grave and he will say, يا ليتني كنت مكان صاحب هذا القبر. I wish I was the occupant of this grave. I wish I had moved on. I wish we could reverse it. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ Now there's great explanation into the commentary of this hadith. I don't want to go into all the detail. Suffice to say that the intensity, the challenges, the trials on this world will become so strong, so challenging, so daunting that a person would often anticipate and wish that I could, be in the place of the occupant of the grave. Of course, as believers, it is impermissible, unlawful, and prohibited for us to desire death, But by virtue of this hadith, it gives us a yardstick and it gives us an estimation that as times are moving on, how difficult, how challenging it is happening. I think for the majority of us, we knew we were getting closer to Qiyamah, but we never thought we were going to witness things of this magnitude. We never thought we were going to witness things of this magnitude. Again, consolation from the Quran, 13 Juz, Surah Ibrahim. Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Allah says that He will keep the believer firm in this world. Allah will, by virtue of Iman, that as challenging, as daunting, as intensified as it will be, to conclude that quotation of Luqman Hakim, we digress from there. He said, the world is a deep ocean, and I've seen many vessels wrecked, and I've seen many sailors drown, and I've seen many people lose their compass. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ فَجْعَلْ سَفِينَتَكَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ Oh my son, if you can help it, make the obedience of Allah your vessel. لَعَلَّكَ أَن تَنْجُو وَلَا أَرَاكَ نَاجِيَا Hopefully you make it to the shore, but I doubt it. Hopefully you make it to the shore, but I doubt it. So we are living in very, very challenging times. The verse is, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the believer firm by virtue of iman in this world, and keep the believer firm in akhirah. And in akhirah, there's almost consensus of the scholars of tafsir, it refers to the questioning in the grave, because that will be a separate intensity. There's yet another verse that I want to share, and if time permits, then we'll commence with the book, inshallah. I think it's very opportune to discuss, well, every verse of the Quran, but in the current crisis, the fifth juz of the Quran, fourth chapter in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah," that whatever good comes your way comes from Allah. "Wama asabaka min sayyi'atin famin nafsik," and whatever setbacks, difficulties, snags, evil, unpleasant things in your life comes from yourself. So that's one verse. Then further down on that same page, Allah says, "Qul kullum min indillah," say unto them, everything comes from Allah. So between these two verses, there's apparent inconsistency. And I think we say this as well. You know what? Everything comes from Allah. Allah has willed this to happen on the earth, so it happens. And that's why the entire world is in this situation and this lockdown. Then we also say, well, this is our own actions. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون, evil and corruption on the earth and in the oceans because of the doings of man, to taste them some of the consequences of what they've done, so hopefully they can return and repent. So how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile? First, an academic reflection. On that same page, at the end of it, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. So will they not reflect and introspect? So under this ayah, the scholars say, Allah has invited us to introspection and reflection. And if we have tadabbur, we will not find any inconsistency between the two. But if we only read, we will find inconsistency in the Quran on the very page where Allah refutes inconsistency. Subhanallah. So Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If this Quran was from anyone other than Allah, they would cite great inconsistency in it. So the way to find that there's no inconsistency, it requires tadabbur, introspection, reflection. And unfortunately today, you know, we don't have it and we don't apply our mind. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Will they not reflect on the Quran, or have their hearts been sealed? In mantiq, they refer to this as man'ul khulub. Man'ul khulub. That either both can be found, that they are not reflecting and the hearts are sealed, but it's impossible that both are absent. So, you know, man'ul khulub, it's impossible to be khali from both. And that's the reality today. I don't want to become too academic. Is the hearts are sealed and we're not reflecting on the Quran. So this is a very, very pertinent thing. And I urge you and I implore you, my brother and my sister, to listen to this carefully so that we understand it. And this is mentioned in Masail al-Suluk and Bayan al-Quran. How do we reconcile? Where Allah says, good is from Allah, evil is from you, bad is from you, challenges are from you. And in another verse, Allah says, everything is from Allah. This is so profound. حَاصِلُ الْمَقَامِ أَنَّ النِّعْمَةَ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِدُونِ وَاسِطَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَأَنَّ النِّقْمَةَ عَدْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِوَاسِطَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ الْغَيْرِ الْمَرْضِيَّةِ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ فَصَحَّ الْجَمْعُ وَالتَّقْسِيمُ كِلَاهُمَا فَبِحَيْثِيَّةِ الْجَمْعِ صَحَّ نِسْبَتُهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَبِحَيْثِيَّةِ التَّقْسِيمِ صح قطع نسبة النقمة عن الله تعالى. This is quite academic, but inshallah we'll try and simplify it, and you will appreciate the depth of the Quran. And that's it, that's it. You know what, regardless of what happens, there is a cue, there is an answer, there is guidance. See, there is a verse of the Quran, I'm coming back to this, I know probably people are waiting and I'm digressing here, where Allah told the devil that you can go in this world and do whatever you want to, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ, mislead and incite whomsoever you want with your voice, which could either refer to music or the devilish indoctrination. But Allah said, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ, there are some of my servants, you won't able to mislead them. So this ayah makes us believe that regardless of how challenging the situation is, it will always be possible to obey Allah. Because they will remain a segment from the bondsmen of Allah and the bondswoman of Allah that will obey Allah. May Allah make us amongst that category. So here's the reconciliation. Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. And this is the takeaway from today. This is the takeaway. Absolutely, this is the takeaway. Whatever good comes to you is from Allah. That means anna ni'mata fadlun min Allahi bila wasitatil a'mal. All your goodness, all your accomplishments, all your prosperity is a boon and favor from the Almighty without the intervention of your good deeds. Now, let me qualify that statement. When we say without the intervention of your good deeds, we're not advocating that you must become lame, lethargic, inactive, and dormant in the performance of good deeds. Undoubtedly, it attracts the mercy of Allah. However, this is mentioned in the tafsir as well. If you look at any prosperity in your life, your health, your wealth, your children, your spouse, your prominence, your fame, in your recent past or your distant past, there is no good action that you or I have ever performed that qualifies us for any bounty of Allah. There's nothing I can say, no, you know what, Allah, I've done this, I deserve these kids, Allah. I deserve a spouse like this. I'm entitled to the health that I have. In fact, I often quote this poem of the poet, and it's mentioned in Al-Mustatraf fi kulli fannin mustadraf. The other day I was sharing it with my brother, and he's like, wow, boy, I've never heard something like this. The poet says, oh my Allah, you are so kind to me that you continue to favor me amidst my ungratefulness, as if ingratitude is the formula to attract more.
Ya Allah.
كأني بالتقصير أستوجب الفضل. كأني بالتقصير أستوجب الفضل. Oh my Allah, you've been so merciful to me and you shower me so much despite my ingratitude, my rebellious nature, my shenanigans, my evil, my vice, as though an onlooker, an outsider would think, oh, okay, this is how it works. You just got to be ungrateful constantly and the bounties will continue. This is how kind you are to me. So that's the reality. So when we look into our life, there is simply no bounty that I can say I'm entitled to. And again, I have a flash of an ayah of the Quran, and this is, you know, through the grace of Allah. So it's a verse of the 20th juz. It's the 29th chapter, the chapter on Ankabut, the spider. Allah says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. That whoever strives and toils, he strives and toils for himself. Under this ayah in Masailu Suluk, it is written, wow. فيه قلع للعجب ودعوى الاستحقاق. This ayah is a blow to anyone who is guilty of the malady of self-admiration and who is guilty of the malady of claiming entitlement. Because what does Allah say? You toil for yourself. You work for yourself. You slog for yourself. You exert in yourself. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِ. It's all for yourself. So you cannot claim anything on the basis of this. فِيهِ قَلْعٌ لِلْعُجْبِ وَدَعْوَ الْإِسْتِقَاقِ بَعْدَ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ. So coming back to that, when you look at the bounties Allah gave you in your entire life, nothing qualifies you. Nothing. And then, وَأَنَّ النِّقْمَةَ, look at these words, وَأَنَّ النِّقْمَةَ عَدْلٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ. وَأَنَّ النِّقْمَةَ عَدْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِوَاسِطَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ الْغَيْرِ الْمَرْضِيَّ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. And the conditions, the unpleasant occurrences, the challenges, the difficulties, the adversities, the turbulence in your life is a manifestation of the justice of Allah. The justice of Allah, which was triggered by the actions of the servant. Which was triggered by the actions of the servant. So when you've understood this here, فَصَحَّ الْجَمْعُ وَالتَّقْسِيمُ كِلَاهُمَا. Now it's correct to say that, you know what, good comes from Allah and bad comes from Allah, because good literally comes from Allah without the intervention of my action, and bad does come from Allah in the sense that it is my actions that triggers that, that provokes that, that incites that. So it's correct to direct everything from Allah, وَصَحَّ التَّقْسِيمُ, and it is equally correct to say that good comes from Allah and bad comes from human, because it's the human's action that provokes these type of situations. And again, the scholars also make a distinction here that when we say مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ, that whatever difficulties in your life is from yourself, this excludes the category of the Anbiya. This excludes, this is mentioned in the tafsir, because obviously in their life there is no sayyi'ah. In the life of a Nabi, he is ma'soom, he's protected, he's sinless, he is absolutely pure and protected by the Almighty. So then the difficulties in his life is for raf'u darajat, is to further elevate his status. And if it is the life of the awliya and the noble and the pious, in whose life there is minimum wrong, then it is takfir li sayyi'at, it is to atone and expiate for their wrong. So that was just again another reflection of the verse of the Quran. Hopefully that puts things into perspective. So to conclude on a note of hope, in the Quran we've been told if there's anything we ought to fear the most is the punishment of Allah. But even there Allah has told us that we must have hope. There's nothing that we ought to fear or is more scary than the punishment of the Almighty. Because Allah Himself says that فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى, I am warning you of the blazing fire. Allah Himself says يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ, O my servants, fear me. There are different verses of the Quran where Allah exhorts us, encourages us to fear. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. And this is the verse of Surah Bani Israel in the 15 Juz, where Allah says, they are hopeful of the mercy of Allah and they are fearful of His punishment. And the scholars have mentioned under this ayah that we need an absolute balance, to have that equilibrium and that balance in terms of hope and fear, for them to be normality in our life, for them to be sanity in our life. If a person's going to be overwhelmed with fear, it's going to lead to despondency. If a person's going to be overwhelmed with hope, it's going to lead to inactivity, because he's going to sit back and he's going to become lame. وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. So if the situation of fearing the punishment of Allah calls for us to have hope, then all the more in every other aspect of life, we need to have hope. And ultimately, a believer knows that his time has been decreed and willed by the Almighty. So inshallah, hopefully that gives us some insight that وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا, that even in the test that Allah puts upon us, it definitely makes us humble. Just think about it. I mean, I'm suddenly holding a loaf of bread with more meaning, with more gratitude, with more appreciation. Listen, will you people be getting supplies throughout the lockdown? And up till last week, it was fine. I could just walk in and now standing my chance in the queue and waiting and finally just getting it itself is a joy. So even in the test for a believer, there's great refinement. And inshallah, we will hopefully commence with the book tomorrow, where we will address those ahadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us great glad tidings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He can give everyone a sense of comfort and ease and inner peace. I think that's what people are in a daze. People are walking around still trying to make sense of what needs to be done. And I think let us not, point fingers to anyone. Let us not become judgmental on anyone. Take your necessary precaution, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give off a message of hope. When you meet people, give people hope. I think it's time we start promoting some messages of hope. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you visit someone who's ill, فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ. Look at the psychology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا وَيَطِيبُ بِهِ نَفْسًا. In the academic write-up of the Asma'ul Rijal, there is one narrator that is weak in this hadith and that, but it's on a general note, it's not towards any action of stimulating people towards amal, etc., in terms of mandatory performance, so it's perfectly fine to quote these ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give hope to people, because your moral support, your moral counsel will not prolong his life, but will leave the remaining days of his life with meaning, would leave with meaning. So I think we need to be agents of promoting some degree of hope, comfort, solace, comfort, and not in any way are we advocating that we should be irresponsible. May Allah make it easy and allow for this hovering cloud to move over and restore normality and ease. And let us come out of this trial closer to our Creator and more refined humans. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.